Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It is the Paul Zeiss Show. We are brought to you by Solomon Auto Group. We're also brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's, the official chicken wing of the Fan. Archie's, the home of 67 wings, Monday through Thursday. It's also the Paul Zeiss grilled cheese sandwich. I don't even know if I really want to get into this, but it's been something that's been on my mind all day. You know, it's a 10th anniversary of Sidney Crosby scoring the goal that gave Canada a win over the United States in the Olympics 10 years ago. The one that gave Canada the gold medal. And, you know, I get it that it's Sidney Crosby. I do. I really do. Okay? But the number of people on social media today who say that they were rooting for Canada, that they wanted it because Sidney Crosby. I don't get that. I don't understand why you're rooting against the United States, even though Sidney Crosby was on the other team. For one thing, there were, a couple of Penguins, I think, on the American team. And, you know, when you really break it down, you should be rooting for your own country. So, you know, to me, it's one of those things where I keep hearing about how the Olympics are, you know, the greatest international event ever. It's a celebration of, you know, national pride and all of this stuff all the time. And, you know, I laugh because then I hear, like, when, and it's mostly NBA players, when an NBA player says they don't want to play in the Olympics, we have to hear about how they're not patriotic and how, you know, it's, you know, how they... obviously, you know, they're selfish and don't care about it. Okay. Well, here's the thing. I don't think, and it's getting, you know, worse and worse, I think, but in sports like the NHL or hockey and basketball, where they use the, you know, the pros in sports that are really, really high profile, I'll be honest with you. I don't think country pride has anything to do with it. And this is a classic example. People were rooting for Sidney Crosby. They weren't rooting for Canada. They weren't rooting for the United States. They were rooting for Sidney Crosby. People here, I mean. And it's like, well, why, you know, why are you not rooting for the United States? I mean, It's just one of those really kind of frustrating things, I think, at times, because we're always lectured about how the Olympics are about pride. and they're about, you know, national pride. And here's one of the things that I don't think people really understand is that most people in this country don't really care that much anymore about the Olympics. The pride thing, it's still a huge thing for a lot of other countries. In a lot of sports here, it's not. And I think, the Sidney Crosby goal was an incredible minute. It was an incredible, it was an incredible moment. And it was obviously something that we all remember. Of course, I'm not going to. I will spare names for the innocent, Matt. But we actually back then still had weekend guys doing Sunday night shifts. And that game was a Sunday night. And somebody came on, literally, their show came on. I would say within 10 minutes of that goal being scored. Right? And this person came on 10 minutes after a gold medal goal was scored by the superstar here in town and said, I'm not interested in that. I'm going to talk about other things. And started the show talking about baseball or, whatever. The draft or something stupid. Like, you were never given a bigger layup as a talk show host than the person that came on 10 minutes after Sidney Crosby scored that goal. And instead of talking about it and talking about the tournament at large and talking about the hockey and all the players that were involved in it and, Sidney Crosby and what it meant for his legacy, instead of doing that, it was, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. And it was again, I get accused of being a hockey hater, which I'm not. Sometimes I get accused of that just because I don't slobber all over myself trying to find a way to, praise the Penguins all the time. When they play bad, I say they play bad. When their players, deserve to be criticized, I criticize them. But even, I knew what the topic needed to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of those ones where you're sitting watching the game while you're preparing for the show. How could you not want to talk about that? But back to the topic at hand, I look at this and I say, it's not about country pride anymore, especially when we've got all of these pros playing. In the NHL and in the NBA. Got all these pros playing. And they're playing, right? And you sit here and you say, guys that sit out, they just don't have pride. Or, they're not patriotic or whatever it is. We had a bunch of people today talking about how they were rooting for Canada because of Sidney Crosby. And I've said it before, I'll say it again a million times. If I were a professional athlete, I would never participate in the Olympics. I wouldn't. If I was an NBA guy, I wouldn't go to the Olympics. If I was an NHL guy, I wouldn't go to the Olympics. I'd use that time to rest. Why go there if you're, I'm not getting paid for that. Well, you get a trip around the world. Who cares? I'm rich. I can go around the world anytime I want to. I wouldn't do it either. But the thing about it is, it just goes to show that the way that the dynamics of the Olympics have changed completely because we've started using pros over the last whatever it's been since the Dream Team basically in basketball and whenever in hockey. Once the NHL and the NBA players started going and playing in those, you know, events, it really changed the game completely. It changed the way that it's watched. It changed the way that we root for these teams. I mean, you know, there are probably NBA players that, you know, are superstars for whatever, you know, city they're in, that when they play in the Olympics against the United States, they might have people in those cities rooting for them. Because, you know, again, it's changed the game. And I'll tell you another, to me, the biggest farce is this Olympic golf. You know, a couple of years ago, I think Justin Rose won the gold medal. People are talking about, you know, this and that. Should Tiger play in the Olympic golf? Why would he do that? Oh, well, his legacy is the one thing he hasn't done. Who cares? There was golf in the Olympics in 1900 and then in 1904. And then they didn't have it until 2016. There is no history with it. Winning a gold medal in that is not legacy for him. So who cares? But again, people will just root for their favorite golfers. And frankly, you think that Americans, you think the majority of Americans are going to be rooting for Patrick Reed? Probably not. It's just really changed the dynamic completely when they allowed the pros to start playing in the Olympics. You know, and that's, you know, it's maybe it's fortunate, but some people would say it's unfortunate. And I just think, you know, when it comes down to, you know, the Olympics, maybe at one point actually were about country pride and all that stuff, but it's been made very clear that those days are over. It's not what it's about anymore. It's commercialized, trying to sell, you know, trying to sell T-shirts and sweatshirts and memorabilia. And the fact that people are rooting for their favorite guys who are playing against the United States tells me everything I need to know. You should not have been rooting for Sidney Crosby against the United States. You shouldn't have been. I know that your fandom is, you know, dictates that he's your favorite guy, but guess what? If it was really about country pride, you should have been rooting for the United States. And that's the thing I think it bothers me. It still bothers me to this day because I remember being on the air maybe a couple of days later and getting into it with people because I said, basically, I wasn't happy because I wanted the United States to win. Nothing against Sidney Crosby, but I was rooting for the United States. It was, you know, obviously a great game and a great goal, but to me, I was rooting for the other team, so I wasn't really all that excited about it. Anyway, 412-928-9370, we're talking about, we've been talking about a lot of stuff, but we're talking about the Olympics and how commercialized it is. A 10-year anniversary of Sidney Crosby's goal to beat the United States. People are actually celebrating Sidney Crosby, even though he beat the United States. It doesn't even make sense to me. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7, The Fan, driven by Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. The Fan Hotline is brought to you by Workers' Compensation Law Firm of Hall & Capitas. We're talking about the Olympics. And Sidney Crosby, of course, 10 years ago, the goal, and again, I can't quite get there where people are still admitting they were rooting for Canada against the United States. Makes no sense to me. Ted in Mount Washington. Hi, Ted.
What's going on, Paul?
How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Hey, with the Olympics as a whole, I disagree with you. I just think that maybe some Americans are just too cynical. I still remember Muhammad Ali lighting that torch in 96, man, and it wasn't a dry eye in the house. It's too special to play for your country, regardless. And 10 years ago, social media was totally different than it is now. So, I mean, you got to take that with a grain of salt, people saying what they're saying on social media. I just think that's just, you know, some of it is not true.
I think a lot of the nationalism has really, to me, a lot of the nationalism has gone away.
I disagree. If you're American, if you love the Olympics, you want to cheer for your team. It depends on the sport. I mean, how many people are going to be watching skiing and other sports? And that's the difference. If you really love your country, you will cheer for them. I just don't think that every single sport, in a sense, you don't really have a lot of Americans watching. You know, so it's a little bit harder today than it was before.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is there's so few of those sports that Americans actually care about.
Well, I mean, it depends on the event. It depends how, you look how it's broadcast. Hell, I mean, you know, Pittsburgh has a tradition of Olympics, you know, of Olympic heroes. I mean, look at the wrestler, Mont Levin, who's a professional wrestler, Angle. That was fantastic. You know, and so, I mean, I think we should be careful about getting a little bit too cynical because we have a lot of people who, you know, from this area who participate in Olympics and did great things, won gold medals. You look at Pitt history with that. You know, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think it's a teaching of history, too. Also, what does it mean? Because I remember before the Dream Team, the U.S. used to get clobbered by, especially, by the Europeans and also the old Soviet Union. He used to get clobbered. So I think as Americans.
Wait. What got clobbered in what? In basketball?
Before the Green Team. The reason why you had the Green Team is because the U.S. was losing.
Yeah, they lost. They lost actually, I think, 1 year maybe or 2 years.
2 years. They lost 2 years. The only college kid was Christian Laettner on that Dream Team. And it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing to watch that.
Well, what was embarrassing? Them with the Dream Team?
No, before the Dream Team. It was embarrassing to watch the United States lose before they let professionals in.
Well,
it was embarrassing.
It wasn't necessarily embarrassing. They were playing, you know, college guys against pro guys.
Exactly.
But my point
right
was,
there.
But my point is, you know, here was my thing. I mean, my point at the beginning of it all was really at the end of the day, who cares?
Oh, well, it was a big time care. I mean, people did care for that. I mean, the Dream Team to me changed the world. You know, to me that was historic. You'll never see that again. And also, look how many Europeans are dominating the game of basketball right now. Look how many MVPs.
How many?
You know, I mean, like I said before, you can go through the list of that.
I think what happens is people get caught up because they see the Greek Freak or Dirk Nowitzki had a really good year, and they don't realize how much the game is still dominated by Americans.
So you still say basketball is an American sport? It's still dominated by us?
It absolutely is. When we here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. When the Olympic guys with Derek Coleman and those, you know, those morons that decided they didn't really care, when they started to slip a little bit.
Yes, it did.
What happened? We said, okay, we'll get Mike K and we'll get Coach K. We'll put together the team like we want to. And then for the next 3 years, the next three Olympics, we had everyone all around the country whining about ugly Americans blowing everybody out of the gym.
Oh, I understand that. I mean, like I said, I'll never forget an interview with Jerry Rice. He said, you know, Europeans are a lot are ahead when it comes to basics. He said, today's kids don't even know the basics anymore. It's hard to even watch a college game. And when they come into pro, you see that.
Well, okay.
And he says, look at the drafting. Look at the drafting of Europeans.
Okay, I mean, I get that. I appreciate the call. I'm going to address that next, but we'll continue here. Let's go to John in Greensburg. Hi, John.
Hi, Paul. Good show.
Thank you.
Good show.
I was actually at the 92 Olympics and saw the Dream Team. It was great. And I think, as you well know, it was watch the Olympics a lot of years because it was supposedly amateur that we were rooting for the United States. Sorry, Sid, I was rooting for the U.S. 10 years ago, you know. But it all started, I think, what goes back to Russia. They were actually in hockey and basketball. They were paid pro athletes from over there. And I think the U.S. just decided we're going to start using the pros too and beat them.
Well, that was exactly right. It was, you know, our college guys were starting to not be good enough to beat their pro guys.
Right.
And so it became like, okay, well, you're going to use your pros, we'll use our pros. How about that?
Right. But it was awesome there. Hell, they were going through Barcelona, you know, on the bus, and people were just, you know, rushing the bus and trying to get autographs. They were really well received. And there were a lot of people that were rooting for the U.S. Dream Team to beat the Russian team in basketball. And, you know, it was great.
Yeah.
It's gotten away from amateur athletes in the Olympics, and I don't think it's right anymore.
Well, I think, you know, again, there are people that think, well, you know, if you know, we got to keep doing that because we've got to win the gold. I don't. Who cares if you don't win the gold?
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I'd be willing to bet if you took a group of pretty good players, put them all together, and just had them train year round, you probably would be able to compete in the Olympics even without the Olympic guys.
And that same year, I saw the. Our baseball team, the USA baseball team, played Cuba. And, you know, we had a bunch of very good college players in that, and it was the same thing. Those guys were like pros for the Cuba, and we were overmatched,
right,
as good as we were. I sat on the third base side with the parents from the team, from the USA, but we were overmatched. It was basically the same thing. Some very, very good Cuban ball players back then, and they were paid, too.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing, and again, if you're playing pros against college, what difference does it make if we lose? You're supposed to beat us, you know.
Right.
I mean, the flip side of that is, you know what? When we beat you, you should be a little embarrassed.
Yeah, I started getting more involved watching the Winter Olympics. It's more amateurs than that, you know, from the U.S.
Right.
And the other countries, as opposed to the Summer Olympics. It's pros all through the summer games. So, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, again, back in the day when you had, you know, college guys going against the Russian pros and things of the such, we were able to compete back when we had our guys stay in college for 4 years, but over the course of time, we started, you know, our college guys either started being, you know, the guys that stay around 3 or 4 years, which means, you know, not many of them are superstars, right? Or you got 18-year-olds going against 28-year-olds. That's tough. You know, it's hard to win. It's hard to beat guys that are, you know, much older than you. So, you know, I don't get it from any standpoint when we have these discussions about the Olympics. To me, it's not about pride anymore, but back then it was about pride. We, you know, USA basketball, basically, they just basically said, oh, you know, the hell with it. Okay, the world's catching up to us. All right, let's do this. And then everyone complained because the U.S. Dream Team was, like, so, you know, far ahead of everybody else. What's funny is the U.S. Dream Team is still, you know, when anyone bitches about the Olympics and, you know, pros in the Olympics, they always go back to the men's basketball team. Meanwhile, the men's basketball team's actually been challenged more than, say, the women's soccer team. Or remember the women's softball team. Or the women's basketball team, which is a bigger favorite every year than the men's team. Nobody ever seems to complain about that. It's kind of funny how that works. The men's dream team is the only, like, they're the only villains. It just doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. So, anyway, I have got to get to break. It is the Paul Zeiss Show. It's 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It is the Paul Zeiss Show. And we are moving right along. And we were talking about the Olympics, and of course, my guy, Ted in Mount Washington, brought out the always wonderful, always amazing stuff about how European basketball players are dominating the game, and they're getting, you know, this and that and the other thing, and, you know, the AAU circuit, and the, you know, American colleges aren't training guys, and guys that yada, 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 yada. It's one of the worst, and flat out wrong, stereotypes that I can come up with. Honestly, when people talk about basketball, what's funny is, AAU, you know, anytime someone, you know, wants to complain about basketball, it doesn't matter what they want to complain about. For some reason, they blame it on, they can find some way to blame it on AAU. That's what's hilarious to me. Doesn't matter what it is. Bob, AAU is ruining the game. AAU is doing this. AAU is doing that. Like, anyway, it's funny because a lot of times when people are complaining about the basketball and the NBA and everything else, they're really not looking at the facts. they're looking at, it's one of these things where if you really look at the facts, it's not true. It's just not. And I think that when you come across it, you know, it's, people don't want to really know what the truth is. And it just comes down to looking at the actual stats, looking at the actual numbers, right? And kind of figuring it out what is going on before you just decide that you're going to jump on the bandwagon and say, well, this is the problem and this is that. That's what's really going on. It's not true at all. Now, we're always told European players are better, you know, they're more skilled, they're better offensively, they're taking over the game, they're this, they're that, and everything, right? That's what we're always told. Just out of curiosity, I just wanted to have a little bit of fun. So I went and looked at the top 15 scorers in the NBA. I mean, if they're dominating the game and taking over and they're learning how to play and they know how to do it the right way and European academies are much better than AAU, I mean, I would think that the top 15 in scoring in the NBA would be littered with a bunch of European guys, right? Actually, 13 of the top 15 are American players. Guys that played AAU and played American college basketball. 13 of the top 15. Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can measure a guy's skill level. And, you know, they've got a higher basketball IQ over there. They know how to play the game. AAU, it's all one-on-one-on-one. And guys just isolate and don't know, you know, they, no one learns how to play the game. And over there, they play team ball and blah, blah, blah. Okay, good. So then I assume that Europeans are dominating the assist category, right? Well, 12 of the top 15 guys in assists are American players. Well, you know, I'm just telling you, there's so much better shooters over there. All they do is work on shooting. American players, AAU, all they do is play games. They don't work on their game over there in Europe, but they learn how to shoot. They're the best shooters around. Okay, good. So they must, okay, that category, you got me. That must be the category. They're dominating. Well, not quite. 12 of the top 15 three-point percentage shooters in the NBA. Yeah, they're American AAU, American college players. 9 of the top 10 in three-pointers made. You know what? Yeah, they're AAU, American-born players. Well, you know what, though? The American guys, they don't, AAU guys, they don't work on their free throws. They can't shoot free throws. You look at all those teams. I can't even watch college basketball anymore because those guys can't shoot free throws. Those Euros, though, they all shoot free throws well. 13 of the top 15 in the NBA in free throw percentage, yeah, they're American AAU players. So, you know, is AAU perfect? No. But this thing where it's become the boogeyman that every problem that basketball has is because of AAU is just stupid. And it's even dumber when you put it in the context of, well, what they do in Europe, those Euro players, this is how they play. They know what they're doing. They're Euro academies. You know, AAU teams, all they're doing is playing, you know, all they're doing is playing games all the time. They don't get better. Well, all I'm going to tell you is the numbers suggest something completely different. And again, stats aren't everything, but, you know, I look at stats and say, if that's the case, if AAU is ruining basketball and guys don't know how to play anymore and this and that and the other thing, and Euros are taking over, well, the numbers should be a lot better. But they're not. They're not skewed in the favor of Euro players. Again, is AAU perfect? No. There's obviously issues with it. There's ways it needs to be made better. There's things about it that are a little bit, you know, creepy and slimy. I'll get that. I'll give you that. But it's still producing the best players in the world, as are the in the combination with the American college system or guys that just go basically straight to the G League and then in the NBA. That's still overwhelmingly where the best players in the world are coming from. And the bottom line is, if our guys are healthy and interested, we'll win the gold again, and we probably won't get pushed all that much. That's just a fact. And Euro players are going to do this, and they ain't going to do anything. They're just not. If the United States is engaged and cares and wants to play and wants to win, they will. There was a couple of years there where they sort of started to slide because the one year they just picked a team that didn't have any shooters, and it was just a thrown together team, and about five of our best players decided to pull out. And, you know what? Then they said, oh, well, we need to be more organized. So they made Mike, you know, Coach K was the coach of the team. I think it was Jerry Colangelo from the Suns is the guy who sort of runs USA Basketball, right? And the next thing you know, they went from teams that were put together, just thrown together and sort of sloppy, to teams that had the best players playing. I mean, for all the talk about how much better the Euros are and how they've caught us and everything else, okay, the 2004 team was not good. But it was put together poorly and the best players didn't play. But before that, 92 was obviously the dream team. 96, people talk about the 92 team. They forget the 96 team was almost as good. The 96 team was almost as good. Barkley, Grant Hill, Penny Hardaway, David Robinson, Scottie Pippen, Mitch Richmond, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Shaq, and Hakeem Olajuwon, and Gary Payton. So, you know, and then in 2000, then again, the 2014 was a sloppy put together. They threw it together. A bunch of the best players didn't want to play. That's when they decided to get a little bit more organized. And guess what? The three Olympics since, they've kind of cruised through it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.